Well, the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony has begun in Oslo, Norway. Lots of incredibly important people there, but not the recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, Liu Xiaobo. He is currently serving his fourth prison sentence in China for inciting subversion to state power. Go back to 1989, when the protests began in Tiananmen Square. Liu was a visiting literature professor at Columbia University in New York, a 34-year-old PhD, well-known really only among academics. But when he saw throngs of people gathered in Tiananmen Square over the TV, he immediately booked a plane and he rushed back to China.
Joe Dorr was a fellow protester and a friend of Liu's.
We already knew that he was at the top of the government's blacklist. We were worried that he might get arrested the moment he stepped off the plane. So he took a great risk by coming back.
It's Joe Dorr, a fellow Tiananmen Square protester who spoke with the BBC. Liu, his friends say, was carried away by the moment. He inspired many to join him in a second hunger strike, including the voice you just heard. The protests caught the attention of the world, but ended in the massacre of hundreds, possibly thousands, of Chinese people cut down by live fire from tanks and Chinese soldiers.
Liu was arrested after the protest and jailed. On his release, he drove past the square and broke down in tears. He later said, "From the moment I walked out of Tiananmen Square, my heart has been heavy. After all that bloodshed on June 4th, I've never gotten over this."
In the past two decades, Liu has written 900 articles and 11 books. His work is banned by the Chinese authorities, so he's largely unknown and unread in his home country. It is outside of China where he is famous. Here's an extract from one of Liu's works, published on the web in 2007.
A ruling clique that makes maintenance of its own monopoly on power, its first priority, cannot treasure the lives of its people, including those of its children. It is precisely because an authoritarian system does not treat people as human beings that such heinous crimes take place. In short, authoritarian power is as cold as ice.
That's read by someone at the presenter at the BBC there, the source of Liu Xiaobo's political essays are part of his work, but he's also a poet. In December of 2008, he co-authored what's called Charter 08, which calls for an end to one-party rule in China. It calls for constitutional guarantees of human rights and the institution of democracy.
But the night before Charter 08 was to be published, Liu was taken from his home by police. The arrest was meant to silence him. It backfired spectacularly. It not only brought international attention back to his writings, but it also brought around the award of the Nobel Peace Prize, which, of course, has kept attention on Liu Xiaobo, that jailed resident of China. Joining us now is Andrew Nathan, a professor of political science at Columbia University, where he specializes in Chinese politics. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Well, let me ask you first about Liu Xiaobo and his evolution in his writings. How has he changed since the moment that he left Columbia University and went back to China, do you think?
Well, he lost his job then and couldn't teach and became a sharp critic of really everything about Chinese history and culture and wrote very sarcastically about what was wrong with the Chinese who went along with the regime, go along and get along, made a lot of enemies and said some things that sound kind of harsh in retrospect, but he found his way to the position finally that he expressed in his recent trial when he said, "I have no enemies." He wants now peaceful, gradual change in China. He doesn't want anybody to get hurt. So I think his thinking has really converged with the kind of values that the Nobel Peace Prize is really about.
Well, clearly his thoughts evolved after Tiananmen Square when he obviously feels that his own words and his own inspiration of others led to people's deaths. But let me ask you, is this evolution one of the reasons that led to him winning the Nobel Prize, do you think? I mean, do you think that now that he has become more peaceful, that is what led the committee to choose him?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, there's such a wide range of dissident views in China. A lot of people are very bitter. There are a number of groups that advocate the violent overthrow of the government and things like that. And I think as the Nobel Prize Committee looks around within this huge country for somebody that represents what they can support, he emerged as that person. And he also has been able to get a lot of intellectuals in China, older and younger, a broad range of people and outside to come together around this Charter 08 idea. So it was a good target for the Nobel Peace Prize Committee to express their wish that China evolve in a certain way.
But Andrew Nathan, you know, the irony here is what you're suggesting is not only are they awarding this to Liu Xiaobo because of what they want China to do on the human rights front, they're also, it seems to be, awarding it to Liu Xiaobo for what he has managed to accomplish. So there's a positive dimension here.
I think it's very positive, but at the same time, that's why I think the Chinese government is so upset about it, precisely because he really has accomplished something.
What's ironic to me is the fact that he's not incredibly well known in China. He's mostly known overseas because, as a political dissident. That's where his writings are read most widely. And it's because of the attention from other countries that China keeps him in jail.
Well, partly, but also because with this Charter 08, for example, he got 300 people who were important people to sign it in the beginning, and then another 10,000 added their signatures before the government bottled it up. So he has the potential to bring together a lot of support inside the country as well. It's such an unstable political situation there because there's rapid change and constant challenge to the ruling ideology. So, but the international dimension that you mentioned is also very important. China wants to be respected, and they feel that he's disrespecting them and holding them up to ridicule.
Well, the Nobel Committee says that is absolutely not the case. That is Andrew Nathan, professor of political science at Columbia and a specialist in China. And the ceremony is going right now on now in Oslo, Norway. Let's check in on it here.
Although none of the committee's members have ever met Liu, we feel that we know him. We have studied him closely over a long period of time. Liu was born on the 28th of December 1955 in Changchun in China's Jilin province. He took a bachelor's degree in literature at Jilin University and a master's degree and PhD at Beijing Normal University, where he also taught. Stays abroad included visits to Oslo, Hawaii, and Columbia University in New York.
That is the chairman of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, Torbjørn Jagland, speaking right now at the Nobel Peace Prize award ceremony in Oslo, Norway, where Liu Xiaobo is not present.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.